I would so do that, but not today. She pushes me back and stands up. I let her. You're not scared, are you? I ask. Afraid you won't be able to control yourself if you're alone with me? To people like Kate and me, a dare is kind of like a hooker at a sex addicts convention. There's almost no chance they're going to get turned down. If you mean, am I afraid I'll kill you if there aren't any witnesses to testify against me, then the answer's yes. Although I must admit, 20 to life is looking like a small price to pay at the moment. Do you think she enjoys the verbal foreplay as much as I do? She's got to. She's so good at it. She circles around, putting her desk between us. Look, Drew, I have a new client. I told you that. You know how it is. I can't afford these distractions right now. I take that as a compliment. I distract you? She huffs. That's not what I meant. Then her face changes, and she's imploring. You have to stop this. Her hands wave in the air. This mission you're on, just let it go, please. When Stephen was 11, he ran into a tree during a game of touch football in his backyard and busted his forehead open. For as long as I live, I'll never forget the sound of him begging, pleading with his mother not to take him to the hospital, because he knew he needed stitches, and stitches just suck at any age. But Janie Reinhart didn't give in. She brought him anyway. Because even though Stephen was terrified, even though it wasn't what he wanted, she knew it was what he needed. You see where I'm going with this? The ball's in your court, Kate. I told you that from the beginning. You want me gone? All you have to do is go out with me on Saturday. She bites her lip and looks down at her desk. Okay. Come again? Sure, I'd love to, with Kate. Okay, not the time to joke. I'm sorry, could you repeat that, please? Her eyes meet mine. They look hesitant, but resigned, like someone waiting in line for a roller coaster, determined to get on, but not exactly sure what the hell they've gotten themselves into. I said yes. I'll have dinner with you on Saturday. It's official. Brace yourselves. Hell has actually frozen the fuck over. After talking with your sister, I realized a few things. You love me? You need me? You can't live without me? I think you need closure, Drew. Oh no, not closure. Anything but fucking closure. Closure is a made-up word that women invented so they can overanalyze something and talk about it. To death. And then, after it's been blessed and buried, closure gives them the excuse to dig the poor fucker up and talk about it. Some more. Guys don't do that. Ever. It's over. Fade to black. The end. That's all the goddamn closure we need. Closure? She walks toward me. I think things with us started and stopped so fast, you didn't have time to acclimate yourself. Maybe if we spend some time, if we talk away from the office, you'll understand that after everything that's happened, the best we can hope to be is friends. I'm pretty sure she means without benefits, and that just doesn't work for me. A guy can't be friends with a woman he's actively attracted to. Not really. Because at some point, his dick will take over. It'll walk like him and talk like him, but like one of the poor schmucks infected by those freaky face-sucking things in Alien, it won't be him. And from that point on, every move, every gesture will be geared toward accomplishing the dick's goal, which sure as shit won't have anything to do with friendship. Besides, I have friends. Matthew, Stephen, Jack. I don't want to fuck any of them. Friends? She doesn't notice my disgust with the idea, or she doesn't give a damn. Yes. We should get reacquainted as co-workers, equals, not a date. Kind of more like a business meeting between colleagues. Denial is a powerful thing, but at this point, I'll take what I can get. So, what you're telling me is, you'll go out with me on Saturday? That's the bottom line, right? She hesitates and then nods. Yes. Perfect. Don't say anything else. I'll pick you up at 7. No.
No?
No, I'll meet you. Interesting. I speak slowly. Now, Kate, I know you haven't been on many dates, considering the moron you called a boyfriend had you engaged before you were out of a training bra. But in cases like this, the guy, that's me, is supposed to pick you, the girl, up. It's an unwritten law. See how her lips press together? How her shoulders square off? Oh yeah, she's ready to rumble. I just told you this isn't a date. I shrug. Semantics. Let's say, hypothetically, it is a date. It would be a first date. And I would never have a man that I didn't know come to my apartment to pick me up for a first date. I push a hand through my hair. That doesn't make any sense. You know me. We did 69. I'd say you know me pretty damn well. Look, these are my terms. If you can't live with them, we can just forget the whole... Wait, wait. Let's not be hasty. I give. You can meet me at my apartment at 7, sharp. Okay. But I have some terms of my own. She jumps down my throat. I'm not having sex with you. I force myself to look surprised. I'm wounded, really. Who said anything about sex? I would never require sex as part of our agreement. And then I smile. It's optional. Clothing, too. She rolls her eyes. Is that it? Nope. What else do you want? Oh, baby, if she only knew. Though it's probably better that she doesn't. Don't want to scare her away. I want 4 hours, at least, uninterrupted. I want conversation, dinner, appetizers, entree, dessert, wine, dancing. She holds up her hand. No dancing. One dance. That's non-negotiable. She looks at the ceiling, weighing her options. Fine. One dance. She points her finger at me. But if your hands go anywhere near my ass, I'm out of there. Now it's my turn to think it over. Well, okay. But if you renege on any of my stipulations, I reserve the right to call do-over. She waits a moment. Her eyes narrow distrustfully. And you'll leave me alone, completely, until Saturday? No priests popping in to say hello? No ice sculptures melting outside my door? I smirk. It'll be like we never met. Like I don't even work here. Chances are I won't be here. I'm going to be a very busy boy. Kate nods. Okay. I hold out my hand. She shakes it and says, it's a deal. I turn her hand over gently and kiss the back, like I did the first night we met. It's a date. Have you ever walked into a room to get something, but once you're there, you have no idea what you came for? Good. Then you'll understand why I turn and start to walk out of the room. Until Kate's voice stops me. Drew? I look back at her. Yeah? Her face is downcast. I don't enjoy hurting people. So, don't get your hopes up about Saturday. Before I can open my mouth, movement out the window catches my eye, and I can't believe I almost forgot. Wordlessly, I walk forward and take Kate's hand. I bring her to the window and stand behind her, resting my hands on her shoulders. I bring my mouth to her ear. My breath gives her goosebumps. The good kind. Too late. I wanted it to be simple. Something I would have carved on a tree or spray-painted on a wall if we were kids. But I needed it to be clear. A proclamation. Telling Kate and every other woman out there that I, Drew Evans, am off the field. Kate gasps when she sees it. Up there in the sky, in huge white letters, for the whole city to see. Drew Evans and Kate Brooks, forever. Always go out on top. Have I told you this yet? No? Well, I'm telling you now. I don't care if you're a businessman, a singer, or a top-rated television show. Leave them wanting more. Never overplay your hand. You can always go back later for an encore, but once they're sick of you, there's no taking it back. I kiss the top of her head. I'll see you Saturday, Kate. And she's still staring out the window as I walk out. Don't worry. The show's not over yet. I still have a few tricks up my sleeve, and I always save the best for last. You're really not going to want to miss this. I head straight for Aaron's desk. I need you to get the florist on the phone, and the caterer, and set up an appointment for me, tonight, with that interior designer we talked about yesterday. She picks up her phone and dials. I'm on it. Yes, I said interior designer. You don't know what that's for, do you? It's the grand finale. My winning move. You'll see. On Saturday night. Chapter 26. See that rakishly handsome guy in the charcoal slacks and black shirt with the sleeves half rolled up? The one arranging the china plates on that table? That's me, Drew Evans. Well, not really. Not the old me. I'm new and improved. This is DAK. Can you guess what that stands for? Half the women in this city would give their left tit to have me where I am right now. Pussy whipped. Obsessed. In love. But there's only one woman who was able to put me here. Now I just need to show her I'm here to stay. I haven't seen her for 2 days. 2 long, excruciating days. It wasn't as bad as the 7, but it was close. Anyway, take a look around. What do you think? Am I missing anything? Fresh flowers cover every available surface. White daisies. Before, I thought seeing them would remind her of Warren. But I'm not worried about that now. They're Kate's favorite, so they're the only kind here. Bocelli plays softly on the sound system. Candles light the room, hundreds of them, glass enclosed. You can't go wrong with candles. They make everyone look better. They make everything smell better. Knock, knock. That would be Kate, right on time. I scan the room once more. This is it. My Super Bowl. Game 7. And everything's ready. I'm ready. As I'll ever be. I blow out a deep breath and open the door. And then I can't move. I can't think. Breathing? That's not a frigging option either. Kate's dark hair is piled high on her head. Elegant tendrils kiss her neck, caressing the very spot that I spent hours nibbling on not so long ago. Her dress is dark red, shiny, maybe satin. It hangs from delicate straps that bridge her shoulders and fall low and back. The bottom rests above her knee, exposing her smooth legs inch by delectable inch. And her shoes. Mother of Christ. Her shoes are all heel, held on by an intricate black bow tied at the back of her ankle. When I'm actually able to form words, my voice is rough. Is there any way we could renegotiate the no-ass-grabbing clause? 'Cause I have to tell you, in that dress, it's going to be hard. And it's not the only thing, if you catch my drift. She smiles and shakes her head. All previous stipulations stand. I stand back as she walks in, looking me over out of the corner of her eye. Watch her face closely. See how her eyes darken? How she licks her lips without realizing it? Like a lioness that just spotted a gazelle in the high grass. She likes what she sees. She wants to compliment me. She wants to, but she won't. This is Kate we're talking about here. Post my colossal foot-and-mouth fuck-up, Kate. And despite my recent progress, she's still defensive, untrusting, on guard. And that's okay. I'm not offended. Her eyes tell me everything she won't let herself say. I lead her toward the living room, and she bites her lip as she asks, "So, where are we going?" And then she stops short when she spots the candles, and the flowers, and the perfectly set table for two. I tell her softly, "We're already here." She gazes around the room. "Wow, it's beautiful, Drew." I shrug. "The room's nice. You're beautiful." She blushes, and it's amazing. I want to kiss her, badly. You ever been thirsty? Really thirsty? Like on a 98-degree summer day when you don't have enough spit in your mouth to even swallow? Now imagine somebody puts an ice-cold glass of water in front of you, and you can look at it, and you can picture how perfect it would taste, but you can't touch it, and you definitely can't drink it. That's pretty much the hell I'm in at the moment. I tear my eyes away from Kate's face and hand her a glass of red wine. Then I take a long drink of my own. "What happened to your fingers?" She's referring to the band-aids that cover 4 of my 10 digits. "Mushrooms. Spongy little bastards don't appreciate being sliced." She looks surprised. "You cooked?" I was about to take Kate to a restaurant. The best in the city. But she's about quality, remember? And I figure she'll appreciate my effort a hell of a lot more than anything a gourmet chef could come up with. I smile. "I have my talents. You've only seen a few." And this might remain true. I've never cooked before. Which reminds me, Martha Stewart? She's my new idol. Seriously. I used to think her whole deal was a joke. Who becomes a billionaire by showing people how to fold goddamn dinner napkins correctly? But that was before. Before I actually tried to use my oven or set a table. Now Martha's a fucking god. Like Buddha. And if her recipe helps me pull this off, I'll worship at her pudgy, sandaled feet every day for the rest of my life. Kate and I sit on the couch. "So, how are things at the office?" I ask. She sips her wine and brushes non-existent wrinkles off her dress.
"Good. Things have been good. You know, quiet."
In other words, you've been bored out of your mind without me.
"No. It's been productive. I've gotten a lot done."
I smirk. "You've missed me." She snorts. "I didn't say that." She didn't have to. "Come on, Kate. I've taken a vow of honesty here. It's only fair that you do the same." I lean forward. "Look me in the eyes and tell me you haven't thought about me at all in the last few days."
"I..."
Buzz. Buzz, buzz. Dinner's ready. Kate takes another drink from her glass.
"You should get that, Drew. Don't want it to burn."
And she's saved by the buzzer. For now. The chicken marsala I made looks unique now that it's actually out of the oven and on our plates. Okay, it's fucking frightening. I admit it. Kate's brow is furrowed as she pushes at the brown lumps like she's dissecting a frog in biology.
"Did you mix the flour with water before you added it?"
"Water? Martha didn't say anything about water. That bitch."
"You know, Drew, some of the best culinary dishes in history looked disgusting. Presentation doesn't count for much. It's all about the taste."
"Really?"
She picks up her fork and takes a deep breath. "No, I was just trying to make you feel better."
I stare at my plate. "Thanks for trying." Before she takes a bite, I reach across the table and put my hand on hers. "Wait, I'll go first. That way, if the food makes me keel over like bad blowfish, at least one of us will be conscious to call 911. Plus, if I'm hospitalized, I think there's an excellent chance Kate would throw a pity fuck my way. And don't think for a second that I wouldn't take it. in a freaking heartbeat. I try not to breathe through my nose as I take a bite. Kate stares at me. I chew. And then I smile slowly. It's not bad. She seems relieved, maybe even a little proud. She slides her fork through her lips, then she nods. It's really good. I'm impressed. Yeah, I get that a lot. Through the entire meal, our conversation flows easily, comfortably. I keep the topics safe. We talk about our new client, Matthew and Dolores's burgeoning relationship, and the never-ending political antics going on in D.C. For dessert, I serve strawberries and whipped cream. Strawberries are Kate's favorite. I knew that from our lost weekend. Originally, I was going for strawberry shortcake. But you don't want to know how the pudding turned out. I don't think even Matthew would have eaten it. When Martha said stir constantly, she wasn't screwing around. While we enjoy our last course, I mention Mackenzie's impending Christmas present. Kate laughs, unbelieving. You're not really going to buy her a pony, are you? Of course I am. She's a little girl. Every girl should have a pony. She sips her wine. We're halfway through our second bottle. And I'm going to get one of those carts like the horses in Central Park. That way they can train it to take her to school. This is New York City, Drew. Where are they going to keep it? They have a 5-bedroom condo. 2 of the rooms are filled with Alexandra's useless shit. I figure they can clean out one and make it the pony's room. She looks at me straight-faced. The pony's room? Yeah, why not? How are they going to get it to their floor? Freight elevator. All the older buildings have one. She sits back in her chair. Well, you've thought of everything, haven't you? I take a drink. I always do. Have you thought about what method your sister will use to kill you? I'm sure she'll surprise me. Will you defend me when she tries? She fingers her wine glass and glances up at me through those insanely long lashes. No way, pony boy. She's bigger than I am. You're on your own. I put my hand over my heart. I'm crushed. She's not buying it. You'll get over it. Our laughter fades into relaxed smiles, and I'm content to just watch her for a moment. She's staring at me, too. Then she clears her throat and looks away. This is a good CD. She's talking about the music that's been playing in the background for the last few hours. I can't take all the credit. The guys helped me burn it. On cue, I touch myself by the divinals pours out from the speakers. Jack picked that one. Kate laughs, and I stand up and press the button on the CD player, changing the song. And since I most likely only have a few weeks to live, I hold my hand out to Kate. May I have this dance? A new song fills the room. Then, by Brad Paisley. I'm not really into country music, but Brad's pretty cool. He's a guy's guy, even for a singer. She takes my hand and stands up. Her arms go around my neck, and my hands rest at her waist, trying not to squeeze. Gently. We start to sway. I swallow hard as her round, dark eyes look up at me without frustration or anger or hurt. They're all warmth, like liquid chocolate. And my fucking knees go weak. I trail my hand up her spine to the back of her head. She turns her cheek and lays her head on my chest. And I pull her against me even closer, tighter. I'd like to tell you what it feels like. To hold her again, to have my arms wrapped around her at last and her body pressed against mine. I'd like to, but I can't, because there aren't words in English or any other language that could even come close to describing it. I inhale the sweet, flowery scent of her hair. If the poison in the gas chamber smelled like Kate, every death row inmate would die with a smile on his face. She doesn't lift her head as she whispers, Drew? Hmm? I want you to know, I forgive you for what you said that day in your office. I believe you,
that you didn't mean it.
Thank you.
And in hindsight, I realize that I didn't help the situation. I could have said something, given you reassurance about how I felt, before I went to talk to Billy. I'm sorry that I didn't.
I appreciate that. And then her voice changes, becomes lower, mournful.
But it doesn't change anything.
My thumb sweeps back and forth across the bare skin of her neck.
Of course it does.
It changes everything. She raises her head.
I can't do this with you, Drew.
Yes, you can. She stares at my chest as she tries to explain.
I have goals, aspirations, that I've worked hard for, sacrificed for.
And I want to watch you meet those goals, Kate. I want to help you make your dreams come true. Every goddamn one. She looks up, and her eyes are begging now, for understanding, for mercy.
When Billy broke up with me, I was sad. It hurt, but I was able to keep going. I didn't miss a beat. This thing with you, it's different. It's more. And I'm not too proud to admit that if it doesn't work out, I'm not going to be able to just pick myself up and move on. You can. You could break me, Drew.
But I won't. My hand moves to her cheek, and she leans into it. I know what it feels like to think I've lost you, Kate. And I don't ever want to feel that way again. I'm a man who knows what he wants, remember? And I want you. She shakes her head slowly.
You want me tonight, but what about...
I want you tonight, and I'll want you tomorrow, and the next day, and 10,000 days after that. Didn't you get the memo in the sky?
You might change your mind.
I might get struck by lightning, or eaten by a shark, and both of those things are a hell of a lot more likely than a day ever coming when I won't want you, trust me. And I guess that's the problem, isn't it? She stares at me for several moments, then her gaze falls to the floor. The song ends, and she starts to pull away.
I'm sorry, I just can't.
I try to hold on, like a drowning man gripping a life preserver.
Kate, I should go.
No, 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 I'm losing her. Don't do this. Her eyes harden like molten lava when it cools to black rock.
Your time's almost up. This was lovely, but...
This is not fucking happening. It's like watching your receiver fumble the ball when you're up by 3 with 20 seconds left on the clock. She turns toward the door, but I grab her arm and force her to look at me. My voice sounds desperate, because I am. Just hold on. You can't go yet. There's one more thing I have to show you. Give me 10 more minutes, please. Look at her face, right now. She wants to stay. No, she wants me to convince her to stay. To give her a reason to believe in me again. And if this doesn't do it, nothing on God's green earth ever will.
Okay, Drew. 10 more minutes.
The breath rushes out of me. Thank you. I let go of her arm, grab a black silk scarf off the chair, and hold it up. You can't take this off until I tell you, okay? Suspicion washes over her face.
Is this some kind of weird sex thing?
I chuckle. No. But I like the way you think. She rolls her eyes to the ceiling right before I cover them with the scarf, and the world as she knows it fades to black. Chapter 27. Every new associate at Evans, Reinhardt, and Fisher gets to redecorate his or her office. We're not the only firm with this kind of policy. It's good business. Makes employees feel comfortable, like a piece of the company belongs to them. The choices of paint colors and furniture patterns aren't unlimited, but at a firm like ours, the palette is pretty vast. That's how I got my inspiration. How I was able to figure out what Kate prefers. She's not into florals, and I thank Christ for that.
She likes stripes, paisleys, and earth tones.
Why am I telling you this, you ask? What does it have to do with anything?
You remember the Bat Cave, don't you? My home office, my firstborn, my strictly, dickly, men-only region? Well, it's gotten a sex change. No, that's not really accurate. It's more of a hermaphrodite now. Watch. I turn the light on and bring Kate to the middle of the room. Then I untie the scarf. Her eyes widen.
Oh, my.
The once burgundy walls are now a majestic blue. The English leather couches are history. In their place are two sofas, striped in warm tan and the same deep blue as the walls. My desk is shifted to the left, to make room for the lighter cherry one that sits next to it, side by side, like a bride next to her groom on their wedding day. The picture window behind them is framed with drapes in the same material as the sofas, and the poker table's still in the corner. But now it's got a stiff brown cover over it, to support the large, leafy plant that sits on top. I don't usually do live plants. My thumb's about as green as Morticia Adams's. But the interior decorator said women are into them. Some shit about the nurturing instinct. Pretty amazing what you can accomplish in a short time when you've got an interior decorator with a team of workers at your disposal and money isn't an issue, right? But curtains are a real bitch to hang. I did those myself. Wanted to personally add a few touches. And I almost put the rod through the friggin' window a dozen times before I got them straight. I watch Kate's face closely, but I can't tell what she's thinking. She's blank, stunned, like an eyewitness to a double homicide. I swallow hard and start the most important pitch of my life. I watched The Notebook again. It's still so fucking gay. However, I get it now. Why Noah put that art room together for Allie. It wasn't because he was a vagina. It was because he didn't have a choice. She was it for him. No matter what he did, there was never going to be anyone but her. So all he could do was set up the room and hope to God that one day she'd show up to use it. And that pretty much sums up exactly how I feel about you. So I did this. I gesture around the room. Because I want you in my life, Kate. Permanently. Her eyes settle on me, and they're shining with tears. I want you to move in here with me. I want to fall asleep with your hair on my face every night. And I want to wake up wrapped around you every morning. I want us to spend whole weekends without any clothes on at all. I want to have clean fights and dirty makeup sex. She laughs at that one, and a single tear slips silently down her cheek. I want to talk to you until the sun comes up, and I want to bring you cereal in bed every Sunday. I want to work long, endless hours in this office, but only if you're here next to me. Her voice is barely a whisper.
Like a partnership? 50-50 split?
I shake my head. No, not 50-50. You don't just get half of me. You get all of me. 100%. She breathes deep and bites her lip and glances down at her desk. Then her face goes slack.
Where did you get that?
It's her parents' wedding picture. I stole it from your office and had it copied while you were at lunch. She shakes her head slowly and looks back up at me in awe.
I can't believe you did all this.
I take a step forward. I know you just got out of a relationship, and I've never been in one. And I know I'm supposed to tell you that if you're not ready, that it's okay, that I'll be patient and wait. But if I say those things, I'll be lying. Because I'm just not a waiting kind of guy. I'm more of a take the bull by the horns, keep at you until you break or go insane kind of guy. She chuckles again. So if this isn't enough, if you need something more, tell me,
No matter what it is, I'll do it for you. When I'm done, she just stands there, staring at me. She licks her lips and wipes her eyes.
I have some conditions.
I nod cautiously.
No lying. I mean it, Drew. When you tell me something, I have to know that it's the truth, that you don't have some ulterior motive.
Okay.
And no other women. I think I'm pretty adventurous in bed when it comes to you, but I'm monogamous. I don't swing. I don't do threesomes.
Not a problem. My dick only has eyes for Kate.
Me neither.
Well, you know, not anymore. I mean, agreed.
And then she smiles, and it's blinding, luminous, fucking incandescent. And she steps toward me.
Well, Mr. Evans, it looks like you've got yourself a merger. And that's all I need to hear. I move like a spring that's been cocked too tight for too long. And before Kate can take a breath, I've got her crushed against me. I'm holding her, lifting her right off her feet. Our mouths snap together like two magnets. She grips my shirt, and my tongue slides into her welcoming mouth. Jesus, the taste of her. My memory was unforgivably inadequate. I feel like a recovering crack addict who just fell off the wagon and never wants to climb back on. Our hands grope at each other. It's explosive, combustible. Burn, baby, burn. I drag my lips across her jaw. She tilts her head to give me more room, and I attack her neck. She's panting. We both are. My hands are in her hair, loosening all the pins that kept it styled, holding her hostage. And her hands are on my chest, skimming my ribs and waist. I have no fucking clue how she got my shirt open. I'm just glad she did. My fingers whisper down her back to the hem of her dress. Then I slide them under it, cupping her smooth, firm ass. She must be wearing a thong. I massage and squeeze, pressing our hips together. Kate's mouth replaces her hands, moving across my chest and lower, and I start to really fucking lose it. I grab the back of her dress in both hands and pull, ripping it almost in two, kind of like the Incredible Hulk. I'll buy you a new one, I swear. It falls to her waist, and our bare chests crash together. Fuck me. I missed this. How in Christ did I ever go an hour, let alone days, without feeling her against me like this? Too fucking long.
God, Drew.
Her hands are across my back now, scratching and kneading. My mouth is at her ear, demanding, whatever underwear you've got on, I'm keeping them. I drop to my knees, scorching a path between her breasts and down her stomach. Kate gasps.
That could be a problem.
Why? I drag her dress down to the floor, and then I stare, mesmerized, at Kate's bare snatch.
Because I'm not wearing any.
My cock moans in agony, and then I look up at her. You always go commando to business meetings with friends? She smiles shyly.
I guess I was hoping you'd change my mind about that.
For a second, I'm stunned. She wanted this, just as badly as I did, and I wasted all that time eating chicken marsala when I could have been eating her. God damn. Without another word, I dive in, like a toddler getting his first luscious taste of birthday cake. I sink my face, my tongue, into her pussy. She tastes warm and silky, like the liquid sugar on top of a cinnamon bun, but sweeter. Kate's knees buckle, but I brace my hands at the small of her back and slide her legs over my shoulder. And then I lie back on the floor, so she's straddling my face, like I've dreamed of every damn night. She writhes and gasps above me, unabashedly, and I devour her in a starving frenzy. Her whimpers get higher, louder. Her hand reaches back, and she strokes my cock over my pants. You ever heard of a two-pump chump? Well, If she doesn't stop touching me real frigging quickly, you're going to get a bird's eye view of one. I grab her hand and lock our fingers together. Kate uses them for leverage as she rotates her hips, rubbing her gorgeous cunt against my mouth. She moves once, twice, and then she's coming, screaming my name brokenly. She breathes deep as she comes back down. Then she slides sinuously over my body till our mouths line up, and we're kissing. It's savage and rough, all tongue and teeth. My hands push through her hair, pulling it loose. Her hips grind against my dick, and her wetness soaks through my pants. Fuck, Kate. I'm going to come so fucking hard. I just hope I'm actually inside her when I do. She swirls her tongue around my nipple before she tells me, "Pants, Drew. Off." My hips bow off the floor as I tear at the button on my pants. I manage to push them and my boxers down to my knees, but I'm too out of my mind to get them off completely. I grab her hips and bring them lower, and my cock slides effortlessly inside her. Christ almighty. We freeze. Our faces just millimeters apart, our breaths harsh and entwined. My eyes hold hers, and then she moves, slowly, drawing me almost completely out, before surging back down. My head falls back, and my lids close. It's perfect. Divine. My hands are splayed across her hips, helping her, gripping hard enough to bruise, and then she sits up, arching her back till her hair brushes my knees. I force my eyes open, needing to see her. Her head's back, her breasts are high, and her lips are open as euphoric moans and nonsensical words slip out. You know how sometimes you read about naked pictures of some moron's wife getting leaked onto the internet? I never got that. But now I do. Because if I had a camera, I'd be snapping that shutter like the freaking paparazzi to capture this moment, to remember how Kate looks right now, because she's just that magnificent, more stunning than any masterpiece in the Louvre, more breathtaking than all the seven wonders combined. She moves faster, harder, and I feel the pressure building low in my gut. Yeah, Kate, ride me, just like that. Her tits bounce with each thrust, hypnotically, and I just can't resist a taste. I sit up and cover one tip with my mouth, laving and flicking her pointy little peak with my tongue. She screams as her legs wrap around my back, pulling me tighter, rubbing her clit along my happy trail. She's close. We're fucking close. But I don't want it to end. Not yet. So I roll her under me, cradling the back of her head in my hands, protecting it from the wood floor as I lie on top of her. Kate's welcoming thighs open wide, and I push even deeper inside her. Oh, God. Oh, God. The sounds of our bodies slapping together and her breathy voice fill the room like an erotic symphony. The New York Philharmonic's got nothing on us.
God! Oh, God!
I smile as I pick up the pace. God's not the one fucking you, baby. Sure, I'm in love, but this is still me here.
Drew. Drew. Yes, Drew.
Much better. You didn't think I was going to start spewing sickeningly sweet, asswipe-like phrases now, did you? Sorry to disappoint. Besides, I like the word fuck. It implies a certain level of heat, passion, and it's specific. If Congress had asked Bill Clinton if he fucked Monica Lewinsky, there wouldn't have been any question about just what the hell they were talking about now, would there? It doesn't much matter what you say when you're screwing anyway, or how you do it. Slow and gentle, or fast and violent. It's the feelings behind it that make it mean something, that make it mean everything. Christ, am I enlightened or what? Aren't you proud of me? You should be. I bend my arms and cover her mouth in a devouring, harsh kiss. Then I lick my way to her shoulder and, caught up in the moment, bite down, not hard enough to break the skin, but with just enough pressure to send Kate flying over the fucking edge again. I straighten my arms so I can watch her. She bucks up one more time before she goes stiff and tight beneath me. Her perfectly painted toes curl in the air as she comes. Her muscles squeeze me hard from base to tip, like desperate hands milking a tube of toothpaste from the bottom up, wringing out every last drop. My head rolls back, and my eyes close as I grunt and curse. And I'm helpless, like a grain of sand in the grip of a tsunami. Pleasure pounds out of every pore in my body as I come with the force of a frigging geyser. Incredible. We ride out the wave of ecstasy together until we're both gulping for air, and then I collapse on top of her. My cheek lies in the valley between her breasts, my stomach between her thighs, and a few seconds later, Kate's hands come up my back before sliding down my spine in the most soothing fucking way. I cup her face with my hands and kiss her, slowly this time, languidly. Her doe eyes stare into mine, but neither of us speaks. We don't need to. And then I feel it. Have you ever seen a racehorse after it's been sidelined for a while? I have. When they get back on the track, it's like fire has been shot into their veins. They can just run and run, countless laps, miles at a time. You see where I'm going with this? I flip us over so Kate's once again on top, her knees straddling my hips, her head against my chest. We really should move this to the bed. The floor is damn hard. But then again, so am I. And that takes precedence. Kate lifts her head and her eyes widen.
Already?
I raise my brows. We've missed a lot of quality time lately. Apparently my dick would like to make up for every second of it. You game? I rotate my hips, and she moans just a little. I'll take that as a yes. Chapter 28. We made it to the bed, eventually. A few hours and three orgasms later, we're lying side by side, facing each other, sharing a pillow. The pillow.
Say it again.
It's the 10th time she's asked me, but I don't mind. I'll say it till I'm blue in the face if she wants me to. I love you, Kate. She sighs. It sounds contented. I'm going to be really clingy and needy for the next few weeks. You should be prepared. I'll be insecure and jealous. It'll work out great. There's a smile in her voice.
You told me you don't get jealous.
I shrug. I also told you I wasn't going to lie to you ever again. Her hands comb through the back of my hair gently.
When did you know?
I smile. The first time you let me come inside you without a rubber. She yanks my hair, hard.
Ow! Jesus!
Her voice is exasperated, like a mother who just caught her kid snagging an off-limits cookie for the 10th time.
Drew, that doesn't sound very romantic.
You don't think so? I find the strength to lift my head, and then I lower it down over her already hardened nipple. I suck at it, tease it with my teeth, before slowly letting it go with a pop. Because I happen to think coming inside you is very, very romantic. As I start to give the other beauty the same treatment, she gasps.
That's a good point.
I chuckle. They all are, sweetheart. Laying my head back down, I drag my fingertip up her arm, fascinated by the goosebumps that rise up as I go.
Aren't you going to ask me when I knew?
She asks. When you knew what?
Kate rolls onto her stomach, and her hair swings over her shoulder, reaching the skin on my ribs, tickling it like a feather.
It's arousing, sensual, and just like that, I'm ready to go again. Edward Cullen can take his stupid heroin and OD on it. Kate is my own personal brand of Viagra.
When I knew I was in love with you, Have you noticed that Kate hasn't returned any of my I love yous?
I certainly have. But like I said, I try not to put much faith in words. Actions tell you more. And every move Kate makes tells me that we're on the same page. Still, I'm kind of curious. When?
She leans forward and kisses my eyes, my cheeks, and then the tip of my nose before planting a sweet one on my lips. Then she leans back.
Do you remember that day in my office, after Billy and I broke up and I was crying?
I nod.
I should have been devastated. I was, for a little while. But then you came in, and you put your arms around me, and I never wanted you to let go. It was like everything I'd always needed, anything I'd ever wanted, was right there in front of me. And that's when I knew that, somehow, you'd sucked me in, and I was totally in love with you.
She laughed softly.
I was so scared.
I bet. Because I never in a million years thought you'd feel the same way.
I brush my thumb across her beautiful bottom lip.
I already did, Kate. I just didn't know it.
She smiles and lays her head back down on the pillow. Her voice is soft and sincere.
Yeah, you can be a real dumbass sometimes.
Was that what you thought she was going to say?
Me neither.
Excuse me?
She cocks a brow smugly.
I'm just saying, if you look at our history...
Before she can finish, I've got her pinned under me, her back to my chest.
Those are fighting words, Kate. My fingers travel down her ribs slowly, tortuously. She starts to squirm, and her ass rubs against my cock.
It's nice.
Take it back.
No.
My fingers move light and fast over her, tickling her without mercy.
Say, Drew Evans is a god, a brilliant, genius god.
She bucks and shrieks. Drew, stop! Stop!
I don't let up. Ask me nicely and maybe I will. Beg me for it.
She laughs even while she's screaming.
Never!
You know what they say about never, don't you?
Oh yeah, this is going to be fun.
She begged. Did you have any doubt? Then she got on top of me, and I was the one begging. Now I'm lying with my head at Kate's feet, massaging them. Her head's on my thigh.
Want to know how we ended up in this position?
Nah. I'll let you use your imagination.
So, what did Alexandra say to you? I ask her.
Hmm?
I bend my elbow and rest my head on my hand so I can see Kate's face. She looks completely exhausted, worn out, ungently used. It's a really good look on her.
The other day, in your office, before you agreed to go out with me, you seemed different, more receptive. Did she threaten you?
She chuckles drowsily and cracks her eyes open.
No, no threats. She told me to think like the professional woman I am, to look at you like a business venture, that every investment has risks, but I have to weigh them against the payoff. She said based on your most recent performance, you're a risk worth taking.
Good strategy. I should have thought of that.
I should send her flowers.
Her hand rubs my thigh.
But that's not what convinced me to give you another chance.
My brow wrinkles.
No?
Nope.
Then what did?
She swings around till her head's on my chest, and there's not a breath of space between us.
Mackenzie.
How'd she pull it off?
She told me a story about how you took her to Central Park last summer, and a boy threw sand at her.
I remember that day. I was just about to offer a 6-year-old $50 to dropkick the little fucker.
And then he came up to her and said he was sorry, but she wasn't sure if she wanted to play with him again. And she said that you told her that sometimes boys are stupid, and a lot of times they do stupid things. So, once in a while, she should take pity on them. And if they say they're sorry, she should give them a second chance.
not a third or a fourth, but you told her that everyone deserves a second chance. She pauses and laughs. And then you told her if he did it again, she should kick him in the balls. All girls should know how to defend themselves. A well-aimed kick will do it every time. It's kind of amazing, don't you think? If it wasn't for my perfect niece, we might not be here right now. Maybe I should buy her two ponies. Kate smiles, and her eyes gaze up at me in that way I now crave, like I mean everything to her. You have no sense of self-preservation, do you? I shake my head. No, not at the moment. I'm too focused on fornication. She brings her knee up around my hip. I'm going to make you so happy, Drew Evans. My arms tighten around her. You already have. After this, heaven's going to be a major disappointment. I dip my head and kiss her. It's wet and slow and wonderful. And she's kissing me back, like she never wants to stop. And you know something? That works really well for me. So there you go. Thanks for coming along for the ride. But you really should leave now. No more living vicariously through my sex life. Because remember when I said all guys talk to their friends about sex? Well, we do. But no guy talks to his friends about sex with his girlfriend. Ever. You really think I want somebody jerking off to what Kate lets me do to her? Or what she does to me? No fucking way. So this is where you get off. Not in the fantastic way I'm about to, of course, but that's just too bad for you. Still, after all the pointers I've given you, I feel like I owe you some final words of wisdom. A lesson. Something meaningful. So here we go. Assume nothing. Even if you think you know everything. Even if you're sure that you're right. Get confirmation. That whole ass cliche about assuming, it's right on the money. And if you're not careful, it could end up costing you the best thing that's ever going to happen to you. And another thing, don't get too comfortable. Take chances. Don't be afraid to lay it on the line, even if you're happy. Even if you think life is freaking perfect. Because I had a life once. A life I loved. It was consistent. Fun. It was reliable. Safe. And then one night, a beautiful dark-haired girl came along and blew it all to kingdom come. Now my life is a mess. In a good way. A giant, unpredictable web of screw-ups and make-ups. Frustration and tenderness, annoyance and affection, lust and love. But that's okay. Because as long as Kate Brooks is tangled up in that web with me, well, I can't imagine anything fucking better than that.
Tangled was written by Emma Chase and read by Sebastian Yor. Editing and post-production by Matt Cartsonis. The associate producer was Louisa Solomon. Tangled was produced and directed by Matt Cartsonis. This has been a presentation of Simon & Schuster Audio. Tangled is available in print from Gallery Books.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.